Founded four centuries ago, Boston has simply never settled. Conversations here determine the future, so let's discover what's next. Join us as we seek out the real Boston, past and present, through stories and perspectives that capture a city always in motion. I'm Martha Sheridan, CEO of Meet Boston, and this is Boston Found. Welcome to Boston Found, the podcast of Meet Boston. I'm Martha Sheridan, your host, and today we are delighted to have our friend and colleague, Colin Knight, founder of Live Like a Local Tours, here with us to talk about his incredible program and the tours that he gives in some of Boston's most iconic neighborhoods. Welcome, Colin.
Thank you for having me.
I have your bio, but really how I like to start out is to ask you to talk a little bit about your background and your journey and how you got to where you are now, in your case, with founding this incredible tour company. Let's hear a little bit about your background, Colin.
Definitely. Thank you for having me. Yeah, a little bit about me. I'm a Roxbury native, grew up here in Boston my entire life, and just have a tremendous amount of pride for the neighborhood I came from. And I think everything that I've been doing over the last 20 plus years has been based in community and giving back, and from working in the Boston public school system as a paraprofessional and also working for a local nonprofit that taught life skills through theater, really connected with the young people through using those skills as a former actor. And this has been a really great opportunity with this tour company to highlight those attributes of just having a love for my neighborhood and also love for community and giving back.
I did not know you were a former actor. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm a former tour guide, and I know that being a tour guide does require a little bit of acting sometimes. You got to put it on even when maybe you don't feel like it. So let's talk a little bit about Roxbury. As you mentioned, you are a native, and Roxbury has certainly evolved over the years. Tell us a little bit about your perspective of that iconic neighborhood then and now. How has it changed from the years that you grew up there?
Roxbury is the epicenter of Black history and culture since the 1960s, and recently, over the last couple of years, started learning the history of my neighborhood. When we think about all of the great activists, artists, and people who have come out of that neighborhood, obviously people know the bigger names of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, but there are also activists who may not have that notoriety that have done so much to get us as a neighborhood to where we are today. So I think about the Mel Kings and the Chuck Turners of the world, the Elma Lewises and the Melnia Casses of the world that, you know, really fought. You know, when we think about art and culture and civil rights, what they've done to give back and make Roxbury what it is today. So love that neighborhood so much. I think Roxbury just runs through my veins when I think about everything that I turned out to be as a man and just as a creative too. If you go to Nubian Square, style and fashion wise, you'll even see the older guys matching from head to toe.
I love it. That's fantastic. Nubian Square is such a fun spot these days. So you talked a little bit about some of the activists and advocates. Tell us a little bit about some of the more, the artistic, the business owners that you think represent the Roxbury of today in 2024. Who's really making it happen right now in Roxbury?
Oh, I think they're all making it happen, but I think there are incredible businesses like Frugal Books, which is the only Black-owned bookstore in the city of Boston right now. Tropical Foods is a really great supermarket that keeps us going. There are a ton of food deserts within communities of color in the Boston area, but when we think about Nubian Square, we have a really great supermarket that has a great story. When we think about Paso Medina, who started that supermarket in the 70s, and the generational wealth that still exists today with his grandsons running that supermarket now. I look at Black Market and Kai and Chris Grant and everything that they're doing.
Yeah.
When we think about the block parties and all of the art installations across Nubian Square that you see, Mayor Janey and all the history she made. And it's incredible. I think doing that tour of Nubian Square just gives me such great pride to be able to talk about everyone that, you know, has done so much and is still doing everything that they can to make sure we highlight the Roxbury community.
So let's talk a little bit about Live Like a Local Tours. And at some point you had to get it started, right? And you had to sit down and ideate, what would a tour of Roxbury look like? So tell us about your process there, and what did that feel like for you?
Yeah, I'd like to say first that the ideation of the tour and neighborhood tours is not a new thing. We look at Dr. Carolyn Crockett, who started her own tour company in the South End years ago. This is not a new thing. We think about Byron Rushen, who's an historian and is still doing great work here within the Roxbury area, making sure that we tell the truth of the history of this city, also had tours as well. And it's not a new thing, but I got inspired while I lived in New York pursuing my acting career. I kind of bogarted my way into a tour company. I took a group on and saw this guy doing this nightclub tour. And I was like, hey, you should let me work for you. I'll do it for free for a couple of weeks. And after that, you should just pay me. And so he started to pay me to be his kind of like sidekick on Friday and Saturday nights. And I got a chance to party with people from around the world and around the country had that need to want to be VIP in New York City. And so that's where I got the idea to start a tour company. And I started looking at what he was doing to attract customers, you know, that he had a website and that he was a former promoter and kind of used that to create the tours and had many other tours across the city. And so when I moved back in 2014 to Boston, I started thinking about what would it look like for me to have my own tour company and what are some of the ideals that I wanted to be a part of it. And we talked about before, community and giving back is one of the things that has always been a part of my life. And I wanted the tour to encompass that. And this idea of locals and tourists alike having the chance to experience food history and culture within these neighborhoods means everything to me. And so in 2019, I quit my job and I started thinking about what this would look like.
Bold.
Yeah, very bold.
I love it.
My wife thought it was pretty bold too. She wasn't very happy about it, but it was something that I just felt like I needed to do. I wanted to find something that made me feel good and being able to talk about my neighborhood and dispel some of the perceptions that people might think about the neighborhood of Roxbury. It was really important that I figure that out and figure out how to just tell my story. I think that tourists nowadays, they want the local feel, but they also really want authenticity. I really love the tours that are happening downtown, but I think that people that have done those tours already are looking for something different.
They absolutely are.
And everybody loves food. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves culture. Everybody wants to see murals and probably learn about a neighborhood they wouldn't otherwise learn about if they come to the city of Boston. And I just wanted to be that community ambassador specifically for Roxbury, but also for some of the other neighborhoods in the Boston area too.
I want to talk to you in a minute about some of the other neighborhoods that you've expanded to. But first, I want to thank you for being such a great ambassador, not just for Roxbury, really for the whole city of Boston and the region. You've been, for us, just so great in representing what you do, but also representing our city on a lot of national media shows. Yeah. Traveling with Danella, I know that was a lot of fun Samantha Brown, and you have a national following now, and we are so grateful for that. And all the work you do when you showcase your tours to our potential customers who are always just blown away by what you're doing.
I want to thank you all for the opportunity. I think I was just telling the staff a little earlier before we started recording that it was hard for me to get into the Bureau. I didn't know the system and how it worked and that it's a membership and that I can't just send an email and think that things are going to happen. In 2020, Helena reached out to me and wanted to make sure that I was highlighted, and Dave came right behind her. And so the staff here has just been incredibly helpful in trying to push me forward. So I thank you guys much for that.
That's great. It's a partnership. That's the way we look at it. Talk a little bit about some of the other neighborhoods that you're featuring now and maybe what plans you have for expansion in the future.
Yes, we also do the neighborhood of Jamaica Plain, and we also do Dorchester. So we do Jamaica Plain's Hyde Square, which is the Latin Quarter since 2017, but has always been the Latin Quarter since the 1960s. And also the Upham's Corner, Dorchester area that is known for a large Cape Verdean population as well. And so I think the idea is in every neighborhood to highlight who's there. But not only that, the layered history of those neighborhoods too. So you get a chance to learn about what these neighborhoods were from the inception in 1630 to all the way up when we think about these different neighborhoods
transition, right?
Being annexed into Boston. And mm-hmm. Starting my tours with giving people that overview and like how these neighborhoods came to be, and you know, who lives there now, and that culture and the history that exists. And so we try to just lay out, like, from my perspective, like what the neighborhoods, you know, are, what they feel like. The walking tours are really so important just because you can get the feel of the neighborhood. Charter tours are great too. And that's how I started thinking that was going to be the thing. But I think the pandemic showed me when I had to pivot that actually having people walk through these neighborhoods and get a feel for the community is much more impactful.
And authentic, in a lot of ways too.
And so that feel, I think for tourists and even suburbanites and just people who don't visit those neighborhoods that often can really be a plus for people that want to experience those neighborhoods in a different way than they would otherwise do.
We primarily deal with visitors to the market, but a lot of what we do reaches locals as well, people that are from the region. And like you said, maybe you're coming in from the suburbs and just want something different. Tell me a little bit about how people have reacted to your tours once they've completed them.
I think that everybody overall have been pleasantly surprised. Can't really stop the perceptions of what people might see if they just watch the news every night and see that maybe some negative things have happened in some of these neighborhoods. So when they get a chance to actually walk through and learn about the communities, I think it really changes the mindset and also encourages them to come back. I think it's one thing to say, hey, come and do this tour and then never see them again. I just really want to create a long-standing relationship with the people who take my tour so that they can email me at any point and say, hey, what's that restaurant? I'd love to bring some friends and visit. I think it's really about circulating dollars and figuring out how to do that even after the tour is done and creating friendships. It's a little different downtown where it's like an in and out thing because you look at them as tourists. But when it's suburbanites, people that are local that are 5 to 20 miles out, they can come back. And if they feel comfortable doing that and they know they have somebody that they can ask, like, what should they do and where should they go because they had a good time, then, you know, I'm creating business that probably wouldn't have, you know, been there otherwise. And so I think it's more about that than them taking the tour. It's about what happens after that tour and how can we create more relationships. And that's why I'm working with universities and hospitals to make sure that they understand that it's really important to know the community that you're in. If you're studying as a student and if you're a healthcare professional, I think it's really important for you to know the community you serve. And I've really changed it into a tourism company that looks at a bunch of different avenues.
It sounds almost like you're adding a concierge service to what you do.
Oh, most definitely. I think trying to curate experiences for people that come from out of town, I think is one of the things that I want to get to. And I think that's why the nightlife stuff I would love to expand into, because I think people can go to these places. But if they have somebody that kind of knows people and has relationships, I think that can be really useful.
There are so many misperceptions around Boston's nightlife that it doesn't exist. And yes, we close it to most major cities. A lot of them close it too. We're not the only ones. And I do know transportation is a challenge, but would you agree that it's all in how we present it that we can change that perception?
I think so. I think that there are a lot of great things happening. The Zaza Bar that's there and Grace Bonilla that's both on the seaport are really great places. We have rooftop bars and yeah, I think that there is, you know, a potential to improve the nightlife and to make sure that people actually want to come and visit. But I will be honest and say it would be great for Boston to be a 24-hour city.
Yeah.
I think that when we think about commerce and just revenue, like we could do a lot if we even changed it to 4
yes.
in the morning.
Agreed.
There are things that we could do. I think that celebrities and people would want to come and want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the extra 2 hours, if we could push for it, Governor Haley and Mayor Wu, to be a great opportunity,
yes,
tourism-wise. Yeah, I think it would be great because we do have an amazing city. And yes, you're right, other cities do close at 2. I get that. But Boston, to me, is like a little big major city.
It is.
It's a small New York to me. But I think people don't realize that because we're just not open long enough mm-hmm. for people to. And I think the college students are also.
They want 4 a.m. I mean, they don't go out till midnight.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And so if you're getting kicked out of a club at 1:45, but no, I think we do have a great nightlife. I think we have amazing artists that come. We have all these really great venues.
We
like
have
Roadrunner
Entertainment,
and
yes.
all of Paradise and all of these really great MGM. So we have the venues and I've seen a million artists we'll get to what I like to do. But like, when I think about this city, I just think it's just the extra couple of hours. And I think it changes everything. That's right. Just my opinion.
Hey, listen, we need advocates like you. I'm all about helping you send that message because I agree with you. And I actually appreciate the earlier start times at places like Grace Bynia. I can go somewhere and watch live music at 6 p.m. and still be home at a reasonable hour that works for me. But I'm with you. Let's make it 24 hours. Let's not just expand the opening times till 4 a.m., but how about getting more venues to start a little bit earlier? Because then you're serving a much broader community and demographic.
Now, I know that there are things that need to be done. You look at the infrastructure with the T-system, like you talked about before. Like, once we can get those things in order, and it seems like Governor Healey is pushing money towards that, which is great, because once we have a strong transportation system, now we can move
game
on
changer.
That. Yeah, it'll
game
change
changer.
Everything. And so I'm hoping in the next 10 years, the city of Boston is looking like a city that has the potential to be a 24-hour city, which I think would change things dramatically.
So. I love that. Let's talk about you for a minute. And you obviously have some favorite spots where you bring your guests in your neighborhoods, in the neighborhoods. But what do you like to do when you're not giving a tour? Where are your favorite haunts?
And to be honest, like I, even on my off time, I love to visit the businesses that I take people. So right now, one of my favorite places to go is Comfort Kitchen.
Very
popular spot.
Some
and
incredible
congratulations
national
to them.
Acclaim.
They've
yes.
just been named top new restaurant for the James Beard. And so that's incredible. And the New York Times stuff. I was just there last night with some former colleagues and it's just a really great restaurant and just has a really great community feel. And it just feels like the staff is all family. You feel at home as soon as you walk in the door. And I would recommend for tourists and suburbanites and people who don't really visit the Upham's Corner area to come in and try Comfort Kitchen. The food is absolutely incredible. I think Nubian Markets is another one that is half a grocery store, but also has incredible food, a great community room. If people, corporations want to hold a conference or something there in their community room and have some great food, it'd be great. We're going to do that. And just having one of Black owned grocery store in the middle of Roxbury is also incredible. To smaller spots like Silver Slipper, which is a iconic breakfast spot that's been around for decades, run by Jamaicans since the 1970s. People start there in the morning at 6 a.m. It closes at 2. It's cash only. It's some of the greats when you think about the activists, people who have gone through there. Slade's Bar and Grill is been around, used to be owned by Bill Russell, and the likes of Muhammad Ali used to venture in and out of there, and Malcolm too. And these staples are so incredible and still go and visit all the time. And starting to venture out to different neighborhoods. I love Hyde Park and Park 54.
Yes.
It's really incredible what they're doing and all the history that exists in Hyde Park.
Shrimp too. And grits, please.
Yes, absolutely. The Rasta Pasta is one of my favorites. Those are some of the restaurants that I really love. And in JP too, you got Top Mix, which is a great restaurant there, you know, that run by Cape Verdeans, but they make Dominican food. And so they're incredible in that area. We got Tres Gatos and 10 Tables. JP has a lot of really incredible restaurants. And I live in Roslindale now, and we have a lot of restaurants in that area too that are incredible. So we're foodies, my family. So my wife and my daughter, we just travel to new places, just check out restaurants. Okay. But I also love music and I go to see as many shows as I can. And so, yeah, the city has a lot to offer. And
you walk the walk, that's for sure.
You're
in the right business right now. I have to tell you, that's incredible. I love how you continue to patronize the places that you make popular. And I'm sure they really appreciate what you've done for them as well to introduce them to new audiences. That's important. That's what it's all about.
I think obviously the locals are going to do what they can to support. They know these places, but what does it look like to turn these neighborhoods into tourist destinations like a North End of the Chinatown? So that's really one of my biggest goals, is like not to have to even bring a tour there, that people are just going to Suya Joint because they heard about it. Whether I'm talking about it or whether Meet Boston is highlighting it, these restaurants in these neighborhoods really could use that exposure. And each and every day I'm doing whatever I can to make sure people are exposed to all of the different cultures and food that exists within the neighborhoods. So yeah, it's been great. It's been great.
But you're in the right place at the right time, because truly, I think you know this because you work closely with us. Our goal is to meet the visitor where they are. And we know a lot of people have been to Boston before and they've done the Fenway to Faneuil Hall thing, right? But we want them to understand that there's so many more dimensions to Boston, and what you're doing is really serving it up to them. And sometimes people just need, they need that introduction. They need that invitation, right? To go to places that are a little bit more uncharted than what we're used to. And we thank you for that. It's been for us extremely helpful. Your partnership, as I said, has been extraordinary. And let's bring on that nightlife tour. I'll be one of your first patrons. Oh, man, I'll just have to stay. I'll have to take a nap that day.
That's all right. It'll get you ready for sure. Again, thank you guys. And I think even in your marketing, things have changed dramatically since 2020. And there was a lot of social unrest and things that happened. And it just opened everyone's eyes into what does it look like for everybody to be supported? And what does it look like for everybody to have that light shined on them? And so when I think about 20 years ago, would there have ever been
a walking tour in Roxbury?
There was, but in this way, when yes. we think about how you like support the businesses and highlight the businesses, mm-hmm. it's a little different.
Yeah.
It's just that positive approach and look at what it looks like to expose people to those neighborhoods and get that same exposure as Chinatown and North End. It's incredible the direction that it's going. And we can't thank Meet Boston enough for the support.
How can people find you?
So I have my website, livelikealocaltoursboston.com. I'm also on Instagram at Live Like a Local Tours and Facebook and Twitter.
Great.
So there's a number of places that you can find me. You can book online. You can give me a call and you can book a private tour. And again, looking to that towards that concierge thing, I can curate an experience that is designed just for you and your group, and really love to have people come out.
Amazing. Thank you so much. We were thrilled to have Colin Knight from Live Like a Local Tours join us today on Boston Found. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Looking to find more Boston stories? Go to meetboston.com and don't forget to share and subscribe to the Boston Found podcast.
This podcast was produced by Mudhouse Media.